Happy Sabbath, everybody. It is, as Pastor said, quite bittersweet. I never knew I would enjoy being here so much. The past 2 weeks have been absolutely amazing. There have been so many persons here in this church who have made me feel so welcome. I feel like part of your family. I envisioned the weather here would be quite harsh and unwelcoming. Well, on the contrary, I have become, you know, quite, familiar with and loving the weather most of the time. I've been told I've been blessed because there is sun on most days I've been here. Well, I'm happy to be able to bring some sun to you. I have been able to visit many places, as you have seen. And it has been a wonderful time. I luckily have been invited back. And so it is quite likely that you will see me again in the future. And I'm absolutely looking forward to that when that does happen. It's a good sign when you get invited back. Today, as Pastor said, sadly, is our last day together for now. And so we're going to make it quite special. There are a number of things to be done today, and I plan to spend some more time with you. And I'm very delighted to find out that Pastor has and his team has planned a number of activities to follow up on what we've accomplished so far. And I hope to be joining you online on some of those programs to share and to participate and learn, because I've learned so much since I've been here. I suspect and I see that there are some new faces in the congregation. Sadly, you've missed so much, but I understand that they'll be available online so you can go back and rewatch. Today really is kind of a wrapping up sermon to bring everything together. You know, just a couple of days ago, I had to take about 6 trains on a journey that I did here. And the train system here for some people is quite complicated and can be easy for them to get lost, especially for somebody who is new here. So prior to going on my journey, I had to sit down and map out where I was going, what trains I would take, where I would come off, and what time, to make sure I arrived at my destination at the time I was supposed to, which ended up being about 2 a.m. I say that to say, any journey you go on, there is a time to sit and plan and organize, whether it be a physical journey or a spiritual journey. So today is that day that I open up to you and show you how I did it and how you might want to approach mapping out your health journey. Unfortunately, there are no slides, so you're going to listen to me carefully because it's going to be a simple explanation. Before we get into today's presentation, I want to invite you all to stand for our health pledge. Please stand with me. After 3, 1, 2, 3. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was bought with a price. My body is the. By caring for myself, I daily. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done and what you are about to do. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I heard the stories told of a gentleman who took up his phone, sat in his living room, and went to YouTube and found the ad for a McDonald's burger. And he watched the ad over and over and over again, multiple times, watching this 30-second ad. And the phone was pretty loud, so his wife was a little confused as to why he was watching this ad over and over again. It seemed quite odd. And so she inquired, "Why are you watching the same thing so many times? Aren't there other things to watch?" He said, "Well, I went to the doctor today, and he said I'm in pretty bad shape. I need to lose weight, get my blood pressure and blood sugar down. So if I watch what I eat, I might get these numbers right." And he said, "The more carefully you watch what you eat, the better off you will be." Now, I've given you a lot of instructions, and I know in my practice, the doctor's instructions sometimes can be a bit confusing, and you're not too sure what to do. And so, I don't want to run the risk that anybody leave here confused and having gotten information, don't know what to do with it. About 3 years ago, I went on a journey that took me 6 weeks. This journey was to try and get out of a cycle that I saw many of my colleagues and indeed myself falling into, which is we were spending so much time on a couple areas of our lives. I was spending so much time on my career and my job, and not enough time with my family, not enough time on my own health and my mental state. It was working and studying and working and studying. And when we do that, we get very good results in a particular area, and we suffer in other areas of our lives. Many of you might be quite successful in business, but then your relationship with your kids is not so great. Many of you might be quite healthy physically because you're focused on your eating and exercise, but you don't have many friends, and so you do all of these things alone. I know many people who are significantly invested in the church, and they spend a lot of time doing church work and attending church, attending every single service, but then their physical health suffers because they don't get enough sleep and enough time to take care of themselves. I didn't want to be any of those things. I wanted to be balanced in every area. I wanted to do well in my job. I wanted to do well spiritually. I wanted to be a great father, a great husband. I wanted to be fit. And so I went on a 6-week journey to do something that I've been doing on a small scale for many years. I wanted to map out and write down exactly what I wanted my life to be. And so today I'm going to reveal to you the secret sauce behind the success that you're going to have. Trying to get my screen up here. Just give me a second. Log in here. Yes. It's coming up. So, for today, I'm going to help you to ask yourself 4 questions and answer them. And when we have done that, we would have finished today's presentation. 4 important questions that you're going to ask and answer to determine how you proceed on your new health journey. And this can be applied to any area of your life. And I can tell you a bit of the results. Having done this 6-week introspection, I ended up with a book that was 200 pages long that I wrote to guide my life. It's my personal book that I plan to leave to my kids. not published this one, but something similar will come out soon. As a result of doing this, a number of things started to happen, one of which is my presence here. Me being here was not an accident. I thought about it, I wrote it down, and I prayed about it 3 years ago. So when you called me, it was an automatic yes, because I already laid the groundwork. Me being a doctor was no accident. Everything I've accomplished so far in my life, spiritually, physically, has been the result of intense thinking and planning and implementing. So while you have the information, there are four things that you must do. The first question I want you to ask and answer today is, what are your core beliefs about health? What do you believe? That's the first question. So if you want to write it down or make a mental note, what do you believe? This question is very important, because even here in London, I have found people who believe that I'm going to die anyway, so why bother going to these extremes of being careful about what I eat? I might as well enjoy myself, drink and smoke, because life is for enjoyment. And if that's what you believe, then you have started a point that will lead to ruin. I've found people who believe that it's my life, it's my body, I can do whatever I want, I'm obligated to no one. And if that's what you believe, then that's going to be a problem, because indeed, my Bible tells me you were bought with a price. Your body is a temple of God. You are not your own. And so we are responsible. We are obligated to somebody else. We have to give an answer for what we do in our bodies. Proverbs 14 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So what do you believe about your health, about your body? You need to ask and answer that question. When I asked myself that question, a few answers came to my mind, and they really came from the Bible. Yes? I believe, as the scripture reading said, that God wishes above all things that I be in health. It's God's wish for you to be healthy. I believe that. And so I know He provides for me what I need to be healthy. I believe that the enemy cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. So I believe that the devil has his plans and his foods that he has laid for you to cause you ruin. And so it is important that you distinguish between whose food you are eating, whose music you are listening to, whose habits you are bringing into your life. Who is guiding your decisions? Is it the enemy or is it God? These are important questions. What do you believe? I also believe, as I have tried to brainwash you a little bit, so the affirmation was meant to bring into your consciousness some core beliefs. At the start of it, it says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's an important belief. So if you don't have that as a belief, that may be something that you want to incorporate. And I've tried my best to drill it into you. You are, all of you, fearfully and wonderfully made. You cannot imagine the complexity with which God has put together what you see as a simple machine. Down to the minutest cell in your body, there are mechanisms at work that will boggle the mind of even the greatest scientists. We are still unraveling how your body works. I told you that in each cell of your body is about 6 feet of DNA, and you have over 10 trillion cells that could go to the sun and back many times in your body. In your body, there are over 100 trillion bacteria that support your health. And you have to understand that you have to take care of them as well as yourself. You have to understand that you have been gifted something that money can't buy. I see them doing research, came out recently in the US. They are now genetically engineering pigs to produce organs for human beings. So people who have kidney problems, for example, there are about 100,000 people on the waiting list in the US today, and they have 25,000 kidneys that are donated each year. So there is an increasing number of persons waiting for kidneys. And scientists have worked for many years to genetically engineer pigs to produce kidneys that are going to be more compatible with human bodies, because there aren't enough human kidneys left. And after many, many years of research and having done this, the best they're able to get so far is about 2 to 3 months survival after having done this transplant. And God gave you 2 kidneys that can last you up to 120 years with no rejection. And the amount of money to do this research and to get those kidneys, enormous. So if you look at the value of each of your organs as it is on the market today, your value is in the tens of millions. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in your Lord Jesus. This verse shows how faith, love, and hope inspire action and perseverance. You are indeed, by your beliefs, motivated to take action. Next question I want you to ask is, what do you want? This is a very important question. Most people, you ask them what they want for their health, they say, I just want to be healthy. Now, as an avid reader for many different types of books, I've learned long ago that you need to be specific when you're asking for something. People will come to me and say, Doc, I want some help. Means they want some money. But if you don't tell me exactly how much you want, I might give you anything. You may want $1,000, but, you know, I only gave you 100 because you did not ask specifically for what you want. And what I want to bring to you is that God works no different. When you go to your Heavenly Father to ask for something, you need to be specific. Define clearly what your goals are. And God will answer your prayers as specific as you ask it. And I can give you many examples of this in my life. There was a Sabbath morning, I was about maybe 16, 17 years old. And I was at home. My mother was at home and my 4 siblings were there. So 6 of us were there at home. And we lived in a very humble home. I haven't seen anything here like that. So all 6 of us lived in a 1-bedroom. So we had 1 bed, so some would sleep on the bed and some would sleep on the floor. And our kitchen was a piece of zinc placed on a barrel outside, and we had a bathroom to the back of the yard. Very humble. And I had been baptized about a year prior to that. So young in the faith. And as a result of my ministry at home, so I'd go to church like now and go back home and preach to my mother. I'd have them on the veranda. They'd sit down like a congregation and I'd preach to them what was preached at church. And eventually my mother decided to start come to church and became baptized, and my sisters eventually, one by one. And a few months after my mother became baptized, we were at home one Sabbath morning. We decided that we were not going to go to church because we had no breakfast in the house. There was no food. And so about 9 a.m., 10 a.m., a neighbor came by to ask my mother to do some work for her. This is Sabbath now. My mother was a seamstress. She sews. So she came to her and said, you know, I want you to do this for me. And it was something she could do in a couple hours and get some money to feed her kids. And so my mother, being a loving mother, decides, oh boy, she's not going to let her kids starve. She's going to sew the clothes. And so I saw her take out her machine and start to get her scissors and things together to start cutting. And I said, Mommy, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to do this because my kids are hungry. You guys are hungry. I said, Mommy, God will provide. Don't break the Sabbath. And she said, she's going to do it anyway because she's a mother and I can't, you know, tell her what to do. So I went outside and I sat under a mango tree that was in my yard. And I said, and I prayed and said, God, you need to do something to stop my mother from working, and you need to provide for us because I believe in you. I told God exactly what I wanted. And after I prayed, it could not have been 30 seconds, and the electricity went. In Jamaica, that's something that's pretty common. Electricity went. My mother had to stop what she was doing. She could not do anything else. And about 15 minutes after, we heard a horn at the gate. A friend dropped by. And he said he was at home and something told him to just come and look for us, my mother's friend. And he brought a scandal bag of bread, yes, bread, and corned beef, and butter, and syrup, and rice, and flour, that we could have food for that day. Now, you can't tell me God didn't answer my prayer. That was a direct answer from God, from a young man who was quite vibrant and full of faith. And over again, I have understood that if I pray to God and tell him exactly what I want and believe, yes, you will get it. So being specific about what you want for your health is important. So that's the second question. What do you want? In answering that question for myself, in my book, I wrote down exactly what I wanted to weigh. I said, I want to weigh 180 pounds on average. I wanted my waist to be 32. I wanted my chest to be 46. I wanted to be able to run a mile in under 6 minutes. Yes, it's pretty fast because I was an athlete. I wanted to be able to live until I'm 100 years old and have my mental faculties intact. I wanted to be able to do so many things. I was specific. I have about 3 pages of things that I wanted for my body. I wanted for my health. I wanted for my mind. I was specific. And the more specific you are, the better you are at able to formulate plans and getting to your goal. So each of you today must sit down and ask and answer, what do I want for my health? Do I want pain-free joints? Do I want clear skin? Do I want regular bowel movement? Don't just say, I want to be healthy. I wrote down what I wanted my blood pressure to be and my blood sugar to be, and I checked them regularly. When I'm at home, I check my weight every single day. The first thing I go in the bathroom, go on the scale. So I know if I put on a pound, I know. I have people who come to me and say, boy, doc, I can't believe I weighed 200. Last time I was 180. How come I put on 20 pounds? Like, where were you? And they really don't know that they put on the weight. They're really shocked. They can't believe that 40 pounds came on. They didn't realize. Be specific and be thoughtful about what you want for your health. Philippians says, Paul says in Philippians, I press on towards the mark. Paul means that he has something in sight. He sees something that he's going towards and he's focused on it. He knows exactly what it is and he knows exactly when he'll reach there. It is said that you should set goals so that a six-year-old could tell you when you have achieved it. So we're getting very practical now. This don't sound like a Sabbath sermon, I know, but we're in a health series and I have to give you the exact detail that God wants from you. Proverbs says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevail. So we're coming now to the next part, which is important. Why? Why do you want these things that you have outlined? That's the next question. Why do you want to achieve the things that you've set out as goals? A very powerful speaker once said, if your why is powerful, the how is easy. So I often use the analogy of my patient. Imagine, and this is something I heard, I didn't witness it myself, there was a lady who came home from work. She rushed into the house because she had something to grab quickly to get back to the supermarket before it was closed. So she drove into her gate, left the gate open because she was going to drive right back out, rushed into the house, left the door open because she was going to grab something off the kitchen counter, and then she forgot there was something upstairs, and she ran upstairs quickly to get it. Now, while she was upstairs, she didn't realize that having left the gate open and the door open, her two-year-old, who was in the care of the nanny, wandered outside hearing that mommy was in the house to look for mommy. Two-year-old ran through the door, went outside into the yard to see if mommy's car was out there. But mommy was not there. Mommy was upstairs. And just then, the neighbor's dog saw the child and started to make towards the child. And dog started barking. So mommy looked upstairs to see why the dog was barking. And she saw the dog over there and her child right beside her car, and the dog coming towards her child. Now she's upstairs and she knows that if she runs back downstairs, the dog will cover that journey faster than her. So her only choice was to fly the balcony door and jump from upstairs to protect her child. Now that was an easy decision to make because she had a good reason to make it. If it was something as trivial as a ball running across the road, nobody would jump downstairs to retrieve a ball. And so in making your plans for yourself, you need to make sure that you have a very exciting list of why. Why do you want to be healthy? And you're going to actually think about this and write them down, which I did. And I have some great, important reasons why I chose to be healthy. For me, as I said, I'm married, so I wanted to be fit and be able to lift up my wife. Right? I want to be strong and fit so that when we go on excursions, we have activities, we can have a lot of fun. We can go anywhere, climb anything. That's for me and her. That's one. Two, I wanted to be able to play ball with my son. I have a 12-year-old son and he's very much in love with football and I want to be able to play with him. So I need to be able to keep up with him and outdo him. Third, I think that if I'm healthy and fit, when I come to talk to you about health and fitness, you're more likely to take me seriously, right? If I wasn't looking fit and healthy, obviously what I did didn't work for me. So why should you listen to me? So I wrote down these lists of things that I of wise. Why do I want to health and so? Even though it was difficult to go to the gym 5 days a week, I did it because I had great reasons to do it. I think that if I'm healthier and fitter, I'm a better Christian. Yes, I represent the health message. I can do more ministry. I can do these series back to back to back and not get tired. Yes, I'm a better servant of the Lord. So I wrote down all the things that I had as great reasons. So you now have to figure out, is there a good reason why I want to be healthy? Because if you don't have a good reason, chances are after a couple of weeks, you're going to stop. You're going to give up. You're going to take your foot off the pedal. So I do not need anybody to tell me to eat healthy. I do not need motivation to get up and make my green smoothie. I do not need motivation to go and run. I have great reasons and this book that I've written down, it's in my phone, and I look at it almost every day to remind myself, because I do get discouraged and demotivated sometimes, but I have things that I can look at and remind myself why I am on this journey. One of the reasons I became a doctor was at age 16, when I just joined the church, I used to be on the hospital ministry team, where we'd visit the hospital every week to pray for the persons who were sick. And at 16, I'd go into the hospitals and I'd pray with sick persons. But I remember that there were persons who I prayed for and went back and they were still there sick. Or persons I prayed for and they died. And so I said I wanted to do a little bit more to help them, something more tangible. And so that was one of my main motivations to become a doctor. But as I became a doctor, I realized that what I was trained to do initially was diagnose medical conditions and prescribe medications. And while that was helpful to a point, I didn't think that was transformative enough for my patients. And so I decided to go back to school to learn some more. And I realized that to help people, you know, sit with persons one-on-one, hour at a time, this limited the amount of people that I could reach. And so I decided I'd need to go online to get the message to a lot more people. And so I decided to learn more and become better and more confident in front of the camera. And so I decided to continue to grow and learn. And that's why I'm here today. Because I wanted to go on a mission to help as many people as possible. Why do you want to go on the journey that you want to go on? What is your motivation? What's pulling you? If you have a great reason, then the method, the everyday habits become easy. They don't become hard. They become easy. So even if what you're doing is unpleasant, with the vision in mind, it becomes pleasant. The next and last question that you must ask and answer is, what am I going to do? Well, I've told you a lot of what's over the past 2 weeks. All of them may not apply to you. You now have to go and pick out exactly what it is that you are going to do to reach to the goals that you have set for yourselves. What are the practical steps? The Bible says that in Proverbs 14, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So yes, I'm happy that all of you came out to the seminars. I'm really elated to get the support from here and in Jamaica. People logging on, attending, and giving me great feedback. But you listening to me will not get you to the goal that you want for yourself. You'll have to do some things yourselves And you have to do them consistently. And the clearer you are, the more likely your chance of success. So in pursuing this goal, I was very specific. I wrote down the things I was going to do and when I was going to do them and how often. So I have it all written down. So what would I do to be healthy? So well, I said, okay, I want to go to the gym 5 days a week and I'm going to spend an hour. And so I put it in my calendar at work. So my entire staff knows that when it comes to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever Doc is doing is going to stop and he's going to go to the gym. Yes? So if you're at my office and you're waiting to see me at 1:58, you're going to wait until I come back from the gym because I'm going to the gym at 2 o'clock. Yes, so I am very specific. And I've done that because if you allow work to control you, you'd never get anything else done. And I've told you to learn the power of the word no. You have to learn to say no. Of course, if you're dying with a heart attack, I'm not going to let you die. You know. So there are times when I go at 2:30 or at 3. But if there's no emergency and I don't have a backup doctor, I'm going at 2 o'clock. And I've done that maybe 85% of the times. So I'm very specific about what I do. So my staff knows that at 2 o'clock is gym time for Doc. So I come to work, do a few hours of work, and in the gym, after gym, I relax. I, you know, have a meal, relax a little bit, and come back to do a couple of hours in the evening. So that's baked into my schedule. My breakfast is written in my book. So you see that smoothie I have every morning? The recipe is in my book from 3 years ago. And I have that 5 days a week, 5 mornings. I get up in the morning and I make my smoothie every single morning without fail, and that's my breakfast. And I've done it so that it tastes good, so I'm not, I've formulated my recipe and I have my smoothie every morning. So you have to decide, are you a soup person, are you a smoothie person, are you a salad person? And for lunch, I'm having a huge salad with vegetables and beans and peas. That's 5 days a week. In my book, I wrote down that for my health, I'm going to have a massage once a week. I wrote down that I'm going to get my nails done a certain amount of time and I have appointments. So I can tell you next year, July, when is my nail appointment? I have it matched out for 5 years in my calendars recurring. So every day my alarm comes on my phone. Oh, it's this time, it's that time. So I'm not approaching a day which say, okay, what am I going to... No, I know exactly what I'm going to do. So since I got here, I know what time I get up. I know what time I go to the gym in the hotel. That was a criteria. The hotel pastor found that out and he made sure that the hotel that I went to had a gym in it. Yeah, so since I've been here, I've been able to do my workout. So you have to now plan exactly what you're going to do day by day to get to the goal that you have set out for yourself. You cannot afford to be lazy. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 tells us, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Yes? Do it with all your might. These four questions are what you should ask and answer. What do you believe about your health? Yes? What do you want? What is your vision for your health? Why do you want these things? And what are you going to do? So my challenge for you is to go home today and write those four questions and write at least 5 answers. And then that will be your roadmap for success. Now, I must warn you. On your journey to any goal, you're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some challenges. And the bigger your goals, the bigger the challenges that you will face. I look back in my life and I told a story to young people upstairs, which I'm going to tell to you, so they'll hear it for the second time. And this was 1994, September. I was just about 16 years and 2 months. Just became an Adventist. And I was back in school for the final year of high school. And at the end of 5 years, we have an exam to sit, a series of exams. Here we call it the GCSE. So we have it as CXC in Jamaica. And I was doing 8 subjects, sciences. And so in September, we were told that we would have to pay some fees to sit these exams. I said, okay, no problem. In October, early October, we got the payment invoice, or we call it the voucher, that we'd take to the bank to pay the fees. When I saw the fees, it was quite huge. It was about 5,000 and change at the time. A lot of money. Nowadays, my kids do an exam and the fees now like 50 or 1,000. So it was 5,000 and change at the time. And our rent for our home where we lived, that one bedroom house, was $300. And we had been in arrears about 3 months. So you understand the difference in our ability to pay and what I was required to pay. So having seen this, there was no one thing I could do. I prayed to God, said, boy, God, you have to pay this one, because I know my mother could not afford it. So I did not even tell my mother what the fees were. I prayed and hoped that God would come true for me, because I knew that this hurdle was beyond my ability or my mother's ability to overcome. Well, October came and went, and no money fell from the sky. November came, and we were reminded that the fees are due in December, and I did not walk on the street and find a bag with $5,000 in. That did not happen. I'm sorry, I cannot tell you that happened. And so December came, and there was still no money. At this time, I began to become a little worried, so I told my mother, and she was quite upset that I didn't tell her before, and she started scrambling around to see who she could ask to help, but of course, she couldn't find anybody. And so we know December, you have 2 weeks of school and 2 weeks of holidays, so the final date is that second week of December, the Friday. After that, we're going off on holidays, and all the money would have been gone in. So December came, still no money. And I prayed again, because I prayed one time and expect God would come true. I prayed again. I said, boy, God, time is at hand. You need to fix this for me. And the final week came of December. And still, on the Monday, there was no sign of any breakthrough for me. And can I tell you, I had been working hard for 5 years, doing very well in school, with the vision of using education to take my family out of poverty. I was seeing myself as a person who would cause my family to get a better life. And education was the route I decided to take. And so, Monday passed, Tuesday passed, Wednesday passed, no money. Friday morning came. This was a deadline, and there was still no money. I went to school, this time a little spaced out. Couldn't focus, sat in the class in the morning, and seeing all my hard work going down the drain, seeing my career not realized. And as I sat looking through the classroom window, because I couldn't focus, my form teacher, who was in my office a few days before I came up. So he came to my office for the first time since I left high school. He was in my office a few days before I came up, and we were talking about what led to the decision. But on that day, he said we should welcome the guidance counselor who came to the classroom to make an announcement. And she came to the classroom, and remember, I told nobody that I needed money. Only my mother. I prayed to God. And the guidance counselor came in and said she had an announcement to make. The announcement was that one of the local banks had donated some money to the school to cover the fees of 10 students, but there were 13 grade 11s with 40 students each, so they could only do one student per class. So one student out of 40 in my class would be chosen, but the decision was already made. They came to make the announcement, and you can guess whose name they called. That was one of the greatest examples of God answering prayer and coming through for me right on time. And I'm here today because, not because I'm brilliant or because I work hard, because at that point I was brilliant and I was working hard, and it was still not enough to pay the fees. So I say that to say, there are times on your journey you will come across obstacles that are beyond your ability to surmount. And that's when you have to let your faith stand firm and take you through. There are things that you will not be able to overcome on your own. But God, we serve a risen Savior. Yes, there is nothing that He can't do. And so I leave you with my favorite verse in the Bible. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See you later.